You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, all that stuff. All that stuff. One Brown Man Lives, saw a lot of fans yesterday. Thank you very much for saying hey. And yes, I showed the brow off proudly. Ireland, I still have I've got a little stubble coming in already. This thing
good
is going
to
take that long to grow back.
All right, good.
Obviously, two huge games yesterday with local impact. First, though, as promised, we'll get your calls in a minute. It is Laura with what you need to know. Laura, who's filling in for Jorge, what do we need to know?
Oh, I forgot I was doing this. No, I'm just kidding. So I was looking at, you know, possibly getting a third job because I want to move out.
Oh,
and I know everyone's like, another one on top of school. But, you know, your girl hustles. So I noticed that there is a lot of companies that are doing remote. So I saw the CNBC posted a article on the top companies to work for. And all of these companies seem to be like in Arizona and Florida, but they're paying great to work remotely. Would you guys, if needed, I don't think any of you guys need another job, but would you guys be willing to do another remote job?
Well, I've never, ever, Laura, in my adult life had only one job. I look forward to the day where I do only have one job, but I think that it's good to have multiple employment options because you never know, especially in a pandemic, when one of them is going to go away. So that way you're standing on two legs of a stool instead of just one and you get mm-hmm. bounced. So I would not hesitate at all to explore that stuff.
Laura, you are invaluable here. I vote that we pay Laura more so that she doesn't need a third job.
Good. Yeah. All right. So obviously the company, we're in a pandemic, so we're making less money than we did before the pandemic. Who do you want to take the money from to give to Laura?
I'll take a cut for Laura.
Aww.
There you go, Laura. You don't have
Thank
to get another
you,
job now.
I appreciate
there
that, especially
go.
Since you are over here voting for Jorge. So I appreciate that.
No.
No, you didn't. I texted
no,
you
did.
Over the weekend.
You did. That was hilarious.
When he broke out that Niners poncho, he lost all our support.
Yeah.
Vote for Laura.
Vote for Laura.
Vote for Laura. Yeah, we're out. Easy.
Sorry, my dude. Yeah, you need a side hustle. You know, like my podcast is a side hustle for me. You got to have a side hustle.
True. I have
like
four.
Sounds like you need double side hustles. But now that you're taking some of my pay, you can have a little rest.
Awesome. Thank you, Mace. I appreciate
yes,
that.
Absolutely. We'll arrange that through the accounting department.
Okay.
All right. So here's my take on the Rams game yesterday, John. First of all, I think we choked. We were up 17-0. There was no way. I thought that third and one at the end of the first half, that's a place to run the football. Instead, we threw and gave the Niners a chance to get back into it with a field goal and build some momentum. I felt like once we got to the second half, the Niners were completely out-physicaling us, if that's a term.
Sure one.
I thought they beat us up. I thought we had the worst tackling yesterday. We had the worst tackling in the run game. It was unbelievable. Every time you thought you had a guy stopped, like Elijah Mitchell, all of a sudden he squirts forward for another 5 yards. And on top of everything else, when we got to the end of regulation, we had a touchdown lead. McVay, for some reason, ran the ball 3 times just to make them use their timeouts and gave the ball back to San Francisco. I would have been more aggressive right there. You're basically one first down away from winning the game. Why not try to win it right there? And let's face it, Matthew Stafford tried to make the hero play at the end of overtime by throwing long to Odell Beckham Jr. You know, just dink and dunk your way down the field like you did on that previous drive, get within scoring position, and then take some shots. I thought that was just an inconceivably bad throw on the part of Stafford. All that being said, we won the division because Arizona lost, which I'll take. We get a home playoff game, and I actually feel like we are capable of winning a tough game. We are capable of going to Tampa and winning. I hope it turns out that way. We may wind up in Green Bay where we lost last year, but I think we got a fighting chance against anybody.
You focused on, throughout your take there, all the things the Rams did wrong. Part of this has to do with the fact that the Niners played really well in the second half. They made adjustments. They played great. Debo Samuel was great. Garoppolo was great. Their defense was very physical. I'm betting 10 grand in mythical money on the Niners next week to upset the Cowboys. I was that impressed with the Niners. I think the biggest question you have moving forward is, which Stafford do you get? Do you get the guy who was at one point 13 of 14 in the first half, or the guy that threw those two ugly interceptions in the second half? He's the key to the whole thing. And there's a lot of people online that want to talk about that, him and his interceptions, including on line three, Adam in Lake Forest. Hey, Adam, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Adam?
Good, good, good. Hey, I've got that last interception by Stafford. I've got a conspiracy theory, but
okay. Oh, I love conspiracy theories.
Love a good conspiracy.
There you go. Real quick though, I totally agree with Steve. The end of the half, they had a half yard to go, 38 seconds left. They run the ball or whatever, and they get a first down. They get the field goal most likely, and it's 20-0 instead of 17-3 at the end of the half.
Yep,
that's one thing. And then second of all, at the end of the game, same thing, just the exact opposite. They needed that one first down, and especially I can understand running ball first down, second down, but third down with third and seven, that's when you got to throw at least try one time to get the
give me a little slant across the middle with Cooper Kupp. Give me right. Something with Cooper Kupp at that moment.
Hey, okay, Adam, so what's your conspiracy theory?
Here's the conspiracy theory. So end of the game, they had like less than three minutes left at the 30-ish yard line, at their own 30. At that point, they knew the Cardinals had lost. So they know, and they could do the math, I'm sure, if they tied, they would be playing San Francisco again the following week, and they did not want to play San Francisco. If you do the math, if they tied, Rams would have been third seed, San Francisco would have still been sixth, and they would have played. So they knew that. So they didn't want to tie. So they figured either we're going to lose and we're going to play the Cardinals, or we're going to win and we're going to play the Eagles and then, you know, not have to play potentially Green Bay the next round. So I think that Stafford, especially McVay, in the back of their mind, maybe it was verbal, maybe it wasn't, they wanted to go for it and go for a touchdown and either win it or lose it, but not tie.
Interesting. I don't think that I think you're spinning too many wheels there. I think that they wanted to win the game simply to hang on to the two seed, Adam, because then they get, if Green Bay gets upset, they don't have to go on the road at all, and the Super Bowl's at SoFi. So I think you're undervaluing the two seed, but it's an interesting theory.
Yeah,
I don't think it's impossible.
I just don't think – I mean, I think there was a way to try to win the game without throwing – you didn't need to win it on that play. You didn't need to win it on that throw.
And he has a habit of doing that.
You had 2 minutes and plenty of time to be able to dink and dunk your way down the field to be able to get some good shots at the end zone. I just didn't think throwing to OBJ, obviously, at that moment was not smart.
All right, thanks, Adam, for the phone call. Here's
right,
Mitch in
thanks,
New
man.
Jersey. Hey, Mitch, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing?
How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, we said Odell, he looks so overwhelmed. We gave up so much for him. The last play of the game, to go to the wide receiver that did the least this year, I believe.
Well, wait a minute, Mitch. What do you mean you gave up so much for him? Odell Beckham didn't cost you anything.
Yeah, he was just released.
He was released by the Browns, and the Rams signed him. That was it.
Well, you gave up a lot for Matt Stafford. Boy, he brought his Detroit playing days back to L.A. I think you could have done the same with Jared Goff.
Maybe.
That last play, they should have gone to Higbee or the MVP, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I kept texting Mason during the game, Mitch, asking him where Odell Beckham was in this game. I try not to blame receivers too much because they can't throw the ball to themselves. But Mace, he was not a factor in this game.
He caught only two balls in the game.
He's underachieved his whole career.
Well, I don't know about his whole career. If you look at his numbers first 3 years, he might have the greatest first 3 years, Mitch, of any wide receiver ever. That's how good he was with the Giants. And you know
but
that
I mean, part of this is McVay. He was only targeted 5 times in the game. So he had 2 catches, but he was only targeted 5 times, and one of those times was the interception where he
and
didn't
by the way,
at all.
Mitch, he has 5 TD passes since he came to the Rams. He didn't have any in Cleveland. He's been really good here.
Well, I wish I gave threw more to Higbee.
Yep.
And it's just so, I don't know, they made so many trades, they gave up so much in the future, they have to win it this year.
Yeah, I think that's what they're thinking. Thanks for the phone call, Mitch. But, Mace, the players that, when it looked like they were going to win the game.
Yes.
The players that they gave up the draft picks for all figured prominently in it. Stafford, Von Miller had a big play.
He had 3 tackles.
Jalen Ramsey had the key interception.
Yeah.
You know, Beckham, you know, maybe wasn't great in this game, but he'd been great in earlier games. And I'm not against their go for it now strategy.
But as you said, you know, it's Stafford. I mean, the season is on his shoulders. And you know, we'll see who he is in the playoffs. He's only played 1 playoff game in his career. And it was a loss. With the Lions. So this will be a 2nd career playoff game. Let's see who Matthew Stafford is in the playoffs when everything is on the line.
Yeah. All right. We'll take more of your phone calls. It's a good day for calls because so much happened yesterday. The national championship game is tonight. We have it for you here on ESPN LA, Georgia against Alabama. For some reason, they're playing this in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Your reward for making it to the final 2 in college football is a trip to Indianapolis in January. But it's happening tonight, and we'll have the game for you here.
Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, you are bleeding. That was Laura Romo, who's on the board for us today. Laura, you're the one that slashed my eyebrow.
I mean, that's a little harsh.
I think slash is a little bit of an exaggeration.
Real slasher.
Oh, no, it was. It was blood pouring out everywhere. Yeah. It was crazy. It was like it was shooting out of his eye. It was nuts.
Pouring is a little bit of an exaggerated.
It was like a geyser.
You're such a liar. See, typical man. Lying.
Oh, wait a minute.
Whoa.
You're stereotyping all men as liars. That is rough.
Yeah. I mean, women lie too. I'm not going to deny that. I'm just saying I'm working with 3 guys right now. So, you know, men lie.
There you go. Men do lie more than women.
That's not true.
No, you guys just get caught. You guys get caught. We lie better.
100% equal.
Yeah.
Also not true.
Oh, we don't lie
better? You don't believe... I think women lie just... I think lying is an equal opportunity sport.
I've only known women that are liars in my life.
No, that's what I said. We both lie
and they were not
equally.
Good at it.
Oh.
I'm a terrible liar.
I'm a horrible liar. Me and Ireland have had this conversation.
I can lie with the best of them.
Yeah. Briones is a great liar.
Yeah,
he's like, you should learn from me.
Everybody assumes he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, and then he runs around in a Niners poncho. Jackass.
Laura.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, we should mention, before we get to your calls, the Mandy Awards, which we're still incredibly excited about because of the big COVID spike with the Omicron variant. We have postponed the Mandy Awards. They will be at a later date that we're working on right now. We don't yet have a future date confirmed. Your name stays on our guest list. And when we announce a new date, the event will still be at Quiet Canyon in Montebello. However, if you do want a refund for your tickets, you can go to 710awards.net for information. We hope you keep them because it's going to be a great night. It's just delayed a little bit. And thanks for understanding about the new date. We will still do it. It'll still be, as Steve Harvey would say, still a great night. And it will still be at Quiet Canyon. We'll have a good time. So hang on to your tickets and come join us. But if you want details on a refund, go to 710awards.net.
All right, we're taking a lot of phone calls today and talking about those 2 unbelievable games yesterday between the Rams and the Niners. Mason was at that game. And then last night at the Roomba, in Las Vegas. The Raiders beat the Chargers in overtime on the last play of the game. And one of the things that is basically gone viral and is the most probably talked about thing in sports today is, did Brandon Staley of the Chargers, the head coach of the Chargers, make a mistake by calling a timeout in the final minute of overtime, stopping the clock and giving the Raiders more time to drive down the field and kick the game-winning field goal? Louie in Las Vegas on line 10 wants to talk about that. Hey, Louie, you're on 710 ESPN.
What's up, Louie?
Hey, hey guys, love the show. Big fan.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, what's been irking me all day is I've been hearing these people talk about that timeout called by Staley, how it killed the season for the Chargers, but people that are saying that just weren't paying attention, because I've rewatched it, and when he called that timeout on third down, there was 38 seconds left on the game clock, but there were only 4 seconds left on the play clock. So people that are saying they shouldn't have called the timeout, let the clock wind down, they couldn't have wind it down anymore anyways, because there was only 4 seconds left. So calling that timeout really was
right. But Louis, irrelevant. the point is, no, the clock wasn't going to, if they ran the play, they ran the ball. And if they would have run that same play to Josh Jacobs, then the other clock keeps running. In other words, when Staley stopped the clock, that was the only way it was going to stop. Had they just hiked the ball, let's say the Chargers
they were going to run a play. They were going to run a play anyway, though. There was only 4 seconds left on the play clock.
And then call a timeout and then kick a field goal. That's what I think, too.
Right, but if you there's a video going around where Austin Eckler is on the field after the game. Makes you, I know you've seen this.
Yeah.
Where a Chargers player or a Raiders player walks up to him and says, "We were just going to let the clock run out." And Eckler says, "Really?" And then after the game, Rich Bisaccia said, "Yeah, that was what we were considering." And Derek Carr said, "Everything changed after they called timeout." This isn't coming out of nowhere.
No,
that's
no,
three confirmations.
He also said they wanted to win. They didn't want to tie.
Well, of course, that's what you say after you win. But nobody would have.
There's an article, Bill Barnwell today on ESPN that actually echoes what I'm saying. Yeah, it echoes what I'm saying. There was only 4 seconds left on the play clock, so they were going to run a play anyways. So calling that timeout didn't really do anything. There was
only
4 seconds
left on
the play
clock. That's
a
fair point. They were going to run a play no matter what. They were lined up and ready to go. So what did the timeout have to do with it?
Because
Staley just wanted to make a substitution. Like you said, that's why he called the timeout. And there was only 4 seconds left on the play clock. So either way, a play was going to be ran. So people that are suggesting they should have just let the clock wind down, I mean, that's not true, because there was only 4 seconds left on the play clock.
They had to get off
that
a play no matter
anyway.
What.
Well, let's say they get off that play, though. Then the clock keeps running.
Well, if it's Josh Jacobs for 8 yards, they're going to kick the field goal. They've got a timeout left.
Yeah, but did they call
exactly.
a timeout at the end of the game?
Yeah.
The Raiders did?
The Raiders called a timeout with two seconds left.
To get Carlson on the field?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it does make no difference. I just would have liked to have seen, I mean, I don't know if you guys can find it, Greg, but Collinsworth and Al Michaels, when they called that timeout, were speechless. Those two guys were in shock that the Chargers elected to stop the clock.
I don't think that's true. I rewatched it, John. There was only 4 seconds left on the play clock. A play was going to be ran anyways.
Right. Okay, thanks for the call. But Greg, see if you can find Collinsworth and Michaels after the Chargers called timeout. And just that conversation is, those guys are basically like, "The Chargers called timeout?" And Michael says to Collinsworth, "Why?" And they go, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, those guys were like, they couldn't figure it out. They were convinced that the Raiders were going to let the clock run out. Now, this morning on Get Up, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, Rex Ryan was the one who was the most adamant about it. We're all convinced that they were going to let the clock run out. Now, that guy could be right. That caller could have been right. Maybe this is the way the game would have ended all along. But there's a lot of people that know way more about football than I do that are all claiming that that's where it was heading.
See, and I think Bisaccia was going to attempt a field goal, even if it was from that spot.
Okay, but did you hear Bisaccia after the game? Somebody asked him, "Were you just going to let the clock run out?" And he said, "Yeah, that's what we were considering. But everything changed after the timeout."
Did Bisaccia say everything changed after?
Yeah.
Changed
why
after
would
the
he say? Why would, and so did Derek Carr. Why would you say that if that's not what you were thinking? I mean, it just seems weird. And maybe the game ends exactly the same way. maybe Josh Jacobs goes for 8 yards. You realize you got the ball in the 30. Hey, let's kick a field goal and win it. But
because they got a guy that's kicked a 56-yard field goal before. I don't know why you wouldn't attempt a field goal no matter what.
Well, what Collinsworth was saying was a lot can go wrong there. The kick could get blocked. You could botch the snap. He said if you take a knee, the game's over and you're in the playoffs. So, I mean, this isn't me saying this. These are football people saying this. So, I mean, their opinion was that
they were just going to let the game run out and not attempt to win it and avoid Kansas City. You don't think they knew that if they tied, they were going to go to Kansas City?
I think they, I think they knew all of that. But I'm just telling you that, I mean, you've seen the thing with Eckler, right? On the field after the game.
Yeah.
You've seen, I mean, I don't know if you were watching, but if you heard Collinsworth and Al Michaels, they were stunned. And after the game, Michelle Tafoya is interviewing Derek Carr, and she said, did it surprise you when they called timeout? And he said, well, it changed what we were thinking. Well, what were they thinking before that? What does he mean they changed what they were thinking?
Okay. I'm gonna try this because I'm bold and life belongs to the bold.
Is this the hold the microphone up to the computer?
Yep, it is.
Go for it.
It's exactly that.
Okay, let's see what happens. Who is it? What piece of set? Oh, wait, Greg says he's got it. Go ahead, Mace, play it.
Yeah, I think the Raiders were playing to get it down to either a field goal or just let the clock run out, and the Chargers took the timeout.
I'm trying to process this myself.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, so, what are those? What does it sound like those two guys think?
Well, Collinsworth said Bisaccia was going to let the time run out or kick a field goal.
Right, but they clearly thought that it was a possibility they were just going to let the game end. And that's why they couldn't believe that Staley called the timeout. And then if you listen to Rex Ryan this morning, who coached in the NFL for two different teams, he coached the Jets and the Bills, use the phrase, I'm 100% convinced that's what they were doing. They were not going to take a chance kicking the ball. But Brandon Staley seems comfortable in his own shoes of the way he did it. He said he was, you know, trying to get a different grouping of personnel out there and trying to make the field goal as long as possible.
It didn't work because Josh Jacobs picked up too much yardage and right. Then the field goal became even shorter.
But this isn't like talk radio guys speculating that the Raiders were letting the clock run out. These are football guys doing it. These are like guys like Rex Ryan and Chris Collinsworth. And then the Eckler thing.
Well, I mean, if that's really the case, if Bisaccia was really just going to run the clock down, I think the Raiders should hire a new head coach. I mean, if he was really playing for the time, I would immediately go to a new head coach.
Well, I think they're going to
get Harbaugh, get somebody else, because if Bisaccia was that, the word for 2022 is soft. If he was that soft and was going to let the clock run out and wasn't going to try to kick a field goal to win the game and avoid Kansas City in the first round, he should be replaced as head coach.
Well, think about this. They beat Kansas City during the year.
Yeah, but I don't want to go. Going to Kansas City in the playoffs, that's slaughterhouse.
I don't know. They beat him.
That's a slaughterhouse. Where they beat him?
No, it wasn't this year. It was last year they beat him. This year Kansas City beat him up. Last year they beat him. So I don't know if they're scared of him.
They beat him twice this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one opponent you don't want if you've got a chance to control it. You don't want to have to go to Kansas City and play.
Okay, do me a favor. Somebody just tweeted us the story about the Raider player telling Austin Eckler they were going to kneel. Read it during the break and tell me if you buy it.
Okay, cool. Right. Plus, Maury Colts and Game of Games. It's Ireland's game today.
Yeah.
He's not going to be on the show for a couple of days this week, so we'll get his game in today. By the way, Momo is here tomorrow filling in. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, you know what? After looking at all that video, I think there's no question that Bisaccia quit. I think Bisaccia quit in that game.
It's hard to accuse him of that because he did end up doing what you wanted him to do, which is kick the field goal and win.
There's no question that he was throwing in the towel. He was waving the white flag at that point.
So do you draw that from the Eckler video and Derek Carr said?
The Eckler video.
Yeah,
the Eckler video clearly looks like somebody told Eckler. Was that Carr?
No,
somebody from the Raiders told Eckler it looked like we were going to try to tie. For me, that's like a deal breaker with Bisaccia. He's got a kicker who's kicked a 66-yard field goal before. They were in field goal range.
But you realize you're holding him responsible for something he didn't do. He went ahead and did what you wanted him to
do. He ended up doing it, but he clearly was ready to throw in the towel. He was waving the white flag. Good for
here's
them.
Derek,
that they
here's
won,
Derek but. Carr. All right, here's Derek Carr.
How did that shift the strategy?
Yeah, it definitely did. Obviously, but he
said it definitely shifted our strategy. Obviously,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think Bisaccia threw in the towel. I think he waved the white flag. That's
well,
a shame.
I don't think That's he's going to get.
Why would
anyway?
He not? Let me just ask you. Why would he not, with a kicker who has kicked a 66-yard field goal, they were in field goal range. Why would he let the clock roll down instead of attempting the field goal?
I don't know. But
That's nonsense.
I'm just saying, people that know football a lot better than
I
do.
I'm in complete agreement. I think he waved the white flag.
Convinced me that that's what they were going to do.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think there's a lot of quit in that team.
Well, wait a minute. Why, if the end result of a tie is you get into the playoffs, how is that quitting?
Because you could have won. You had a kicker who could kick a 66-yard field goal, and you apparently weren't even going to attempt it. You weren't even going to try to win the game.
Well, a 66-yard field goal is a little risky for a couple of reasons. One, he's got to kick it lower, so it's easier to block. And two, can't you return it?
But with 2 seconds left?
Yeah, but can't you return it?
Think about all the things that have to happen for a field goal kicker.
Alabama.
That's the one example I can think of. But, I mean, Daniel Carlson is...
No, it happened this year. It happened
the biggest legs
in
the
Jacksonville against Arizona.
Jacksonville did it this year. They returned a missed field goal.
I would kick that field goal
touchdown.
Every day of the week. Greg, as a Raiders fan, would you not kick that field goal every day of the week?
Yeah, I'm still kicking the field goal no matter what because of Daniel Carlson. He hadn't missed a field goal once.
Yeah, he's like
at
money
that
in the
stadium.
Bank. Hey, Bergman, is Greg and Whittier on line two still there?
No, he is gone.
Okay. I wonder if people tend to buy this explanation that they were going to let the
clock I'm buying it. I've seen enough. I think he waved the white flag. I think he said, we're going to tie.
Yeah. The interesting thing, too, is can you imagine what it would have been like to be a Steeler fan yesterday?
Oh, God. So
in the morning, it looks like you're going to lose. And then you beat the Ravens in Baltimore in overtime. And then you're in. Unless the Chargers and Raiders tie. And what are the odds of a tie? I mean, I know I bet you 50-1, but I had no hope of winning that bet.
No, you had a lot of hope. That's what Rich Bisaccia was going for, apparently.
I just did it because I got great odds. And then I was driving home last night while that was happening, and I thought, I'm going to win this. They're going to play for a friggin' tie.
Yeah, and I think they were playing for a tie. That is
And if Brandon Staley doesn't call timeout, maybe they do get a tie. I don't know.
Well, I mean, from the way Eckler reacted and from what Derek Carr said, it sure sounds like they were throwing in the towel.
Yeah, that's
saying, that's it. We're not going to try a field goal. We're just going to go with the tie.
Well, if you watch Get Up this morning, those guys were all convinced that's where it was heading.
I think that is where – I mean, just looking at what everybody said and those guys and what Eckler's reaction was and what Carr said, I think they were. I think they were just waving the white flag and saying, we're going to go for a tie.
Hey, why aren't more people respecting Tennessee? You mentioned earlier in the show, they're a 17-2. So they're basically 8-9-1
Yep.
And with several other teams ahead of them. They're going to have home field for the whole thing. They're getting Derrick Henry back. And they beat you. I mean, you saw him play this year. They beat up the Rams at SoFi.
Oh, they beat us up. Yeah, they beat us up.
Why aren't the Rams, or why aren't the Titans getting more love?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the odds for the Super Bowl this year, I think they're kind of right. Like, tell me you would disagree with this necessarily. Green Bay 13-4, right? Green Bay is the favorite.
Okay. Which is basically, that's 3-1. They're 3-1.
Kansas City's 19-4. That's
4-1.
4-1.
Yeah.
Then Bills and Tampa 8-1.
Well, why are the Bills over the Titans? The Bills.
Question.
If those two teams had to play, they'd have to play in Tennessee.
Okay, so Bills, Tampa 8-1, Tennessee 8.5-1.
Yeah.
So it's very close. And then the Rams, Cowboys 10-1. The Raiders, by the way, 40-1 shots.
All right, Josh in L.A. Why does Mace keep bringing up a 66-yard field goal? That's Justin Tucker, not Daniel Carlson. Carlson's career long is 56.
Wait a minute.
So maybe, Tucker was the guy who made the 66-yarder. But still, like, Bergman's right. Carlson's been money in the bank. And that 47-yarder cleared with plenty of room. So.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd take a shot, why you wouldn't take a shot.
And what do you have to lose there at the end?
Four game-winning field goals this year, 92% field goal percentage.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
All right. That's interesting. All right. Hey, coming up next is Game of Games. It's Ireland's game today since he's going to be out for a couple of shows this week. He's going back on the road with the Lakers in Sacramento.
Yeah, I'm
going
to miss. Tomorrow
Wednesday.
We're flying to Sacramento, and then Friday we're flying to Denver.
Okay, cool. I get to see Jokic.
Yeah.
He's tough. I don't know. I don't know if LeBron at the 5 is going to be the answer necessarily with Jokic, but we'll see. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's been a rough 2022 so far. Granted, we're only 10 days in. Ireland has won 4 times. Michael Thompson has won once. Me, Bergman, Jorge yet to score. Today, Laura gets a chance to score. Laura, you're in the game. You get a chance to hit the scoreboard today.
Let's hope I can.
This is your week, people, because the only time I have a chance to score is going to be on Wednesday from Sacramento because I'm out Tuesday and Friday, and I'm going to do the game today and Thursday. So this is the week for you guys to catch up. Today's game, in honor of tonight's college football title game, is Alabama or Georgia? I have 7 facts. Each one is about either Alabama or Georgia, you guys tell me which one, all right? Okay. So here's fact number 1. The official state fish is the largemouth bass. Laura, is that Alabama or Georgia?
I'm still going to lose this. Georgia.
All right, Bergman.
Let's go with Alabama.
Mace, break the tie.
Let's go with Georgia.
Mason and Laura get the point.
Yeah.
The largemouth bass is the official state fish of Georgia. All right.
Great fish, by the way. Great fish to catch.
State flag is a red X over a white background. Greg, is that Georgia or Alabama?
That would be Alabama.
All right, Mace, Georgia or Alabama?
Alabama.
Laura.
I'm going with the boys, Alabama.
You are all correct. Everybody gets a point there. That's the Alabama state flag. All right, Mace. This state introduced the Mardi Gras to the Western world. The celebration is held on Shrove Tuesday, the day before Lent begins. Is that Alabama or Georgia?
That feels very Georgia to me.
Okay, Laura.
I'm going to go with Georgia.
Greg.
Isn't Alabama closer to Louisiana? So let's go Alabama.
Greg, you'll be glad you did. You've tied the game at 2. Alabama.
Right. They're actually
is
on the Alabama hits the coast. Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah,
is on the
so
coast.
It's 2 for Laura, 2 for Greg, 2 for Mace. Very spirited game of games here. All right. In Gainesville, located in this state, is the chicken capital of the world. It is illegal to eat chicken with a fork in this city. Is that Georgia or Alabama, Laura?
Oh my, I'm going to go with Alabama.
Okay, Greg.
You said it was in Gainesville?
Gainesville, not Gainesville, Florida, obviously.
This obviously.
So in Gainesville, located in this state, the chicken capital of the world, it's illegal to eat chicken with a fork. Is that Alabama or Georgia?
I've gone to Alabama every time. Let's stick with Alabama.
All right, Mace.
I'm going to go Georgia.
Mason takes the lead. Georgia is the correct answer.
Weirdos.
All right.
Chicken with
Greg,
a fork.
You start with this one.
Okay.
Berry College, spelled like Matthew Berry, is located in this state and has the world's largest college campus. Greg, is that Georgia or Alabama?
I mean, obviously Alabama.
Okay, Mace.
Nothing but real estate in Alabama. Nothing there.
Okay, Laura.
Alabama.
All three of you missed it. It's in Georgia.
What?
Oh.
Berry College is in Georgia. Okay, so Mace, you have three. Laura has two. Greg has two. All right, we have two questions left and a tiebreaker if we need it. All right, since we have two questions left, I'll make Mason go first.
Okay.
Mace, baseball player Willie Mays was born in this state in 1931.
Alabama.
Alabama, Georgia. You're going Alabama. Laura.
I'm going to go with Mace, Alabama.
Greg.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Alabama.
Okay. Mace, you're right. It was, did you know that? It sounded like you knew it.
Nope, just acted like
okay.
I knew it.
Last one. Mace, you go first.
You, if you say anything with enough conviction, it's true.
Yeah, you sounded very convicted.
You guys are
secret
all tense.
All right, this is the last one. If Mason gets it, he wins it. If he misses, it opens the door for Laura and Greg. Mace, baseball player Hank Aaron was born in this state in 1934. Alabama or Georgia? Need a guess.
Georgia.
All right, Laura, that gives you one way to go.
Alabama.
Greg?
Sticking with Alabama the whole way through.
We are tied 4-4.
That was
four.
A trick question. And then I thought it was a reverse trick question.
I know.
You outthought yourself.
All right. That means that all three of you are alive in the tiebreaker. Wow, what a game. 4-4-4.
Wow. Laura, you've done really well here. No matter what happens, you consider yourself a winner.
Even if you think it's Aaron Hank.
I hate right. you.
You didn't really think it was Aaron Hank. Did
she did.
No, I didn't.
Yes,
no,
oh, yes, you
I
did.
Read it.
Don't,
I read
don't
it. Wrong.
I heard that. Okay. She did.
Oh, she got it right, and she's in the she's
whatever.
In the,
I'm playing, okay.
You're in the tiebreaker, exactly. All right. According to the 2019 census, what is the population of Atlanta, which is the largest city in either Alabama or Georgia? Laura, you first. Population of Atlanta. Closest without going over.
Oh, my God.
Just take a guess.
1.5 mil.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Greg.
625,000.
Okay. Mace.
Is it close without going over?
Yes.
One person.
The actual population in the city of Atlanta, according to the 2019 census, 488,800.
Oh, so
Steve Mason is your winner with the smart play of one. There you go, Mace.
On the board.
You needed one, and you got one.
That's what I'm talking about.
If it was Jorge, he would have said 624,999.
Jorge always gets
these guesses wrong. Yeah, that's true. He said 1.5
mil. All right, so wait. Now, Mace, you've said you're not going to watch this national championship game tonight. Greg, are you going to watch it?
No, I will not.
I am. Laura, are you going to watch it?
I am working this.
Yeah, you have
no,
to.
You know what,
you don't really
John,
have a choice.
I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to listen to it right here on 710 ESPN, the home
exactly.
of the college football playoff championship.
You know what I figured out the other day, you know, because I was on COVID protocol.
Yes.
And so I was watching Bill and Stu do the Laker game.
Yeah.
And then I turned on the ESPN. If you have the Lakers app.
Right.
When the game's on, you can click listen and it'll put our broadcast on, the 710 ESPN
yeah.
broadcast. And the TV runs ahead of the radio. So I just paused the TV until Trudell and Michael caught up and I could listen to the radio while the game was on TV.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's an option for you.
Yeah, Trudell, I heard part of Trudell. Actually, I heard, you know, they're doing
that
thing
great.
Where They did that thing where Trudell was doing the sideline hits for Spectrum and Michael would have to do some play-by-play.
Yes.
We played a bad example of it. He obviously reacted to that because I heard him do a really good version of play-by-play while he was waiting for Trudell to show up at the booth. So Michael Thompson did some good play-by-play also. We mocked him for the bad stuff. By the way, ESPN's got 13 different variations of the championship game across ESPN networks.
Right. And the outside. Okay.
We have breaking news?
Yeah, I got some news for you guys.
Okay.
The 2022 opponents for the Rams have come out.
Oh, what division did we get?
All right, so you have at home, you have the Falcons. Besides the regular teams in the NFC West, you have the Falcons, Panthers, Raiders,
you got the
Broncos.
NFC South.
Raiders!
Raiders and Broncos, Cowboys and Bills. On the road, you have the Buccaneers, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and Green Bay.
So that they actually get an extra home game because the Chargers is one of their road games.
Wow. So, yep. So Raiders at SoFi and Chargers at SoFi.
Yes. Why,
so they're going to play, Mace, 9 of their 17 games at SoFi. That's an advantage. And this is something that'll be very interesting. I think when the Raiders come to SoFi to play the Rams, that'll be like a Raider home game, very similar to what you experienced yesterday with the Niners.
Say that one more time. Greg was talking.
Okay. When the Raiders come to SoFi to play the Rams, that's going to be very similar to what you experienced last night, almost a Raiders home game. Half the stadium at least will be filled with Raider fans.
Yeah, but probably half the stadium.
But when the Chargers host the Rams, I think that'll
half
sound
the stadium
like
stadium will be the Rams.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to get it. It's going to swing both ways. By the way, so let me get this in before we hand it off to Sedano.
And Cap, I think, is back.
Is Cap back?
Yep.
Sweet. Okay. So, Laura, here's a heads up. Find the call of Ja Morant's block from the game yesterday. If you are a Laker fan or just a fan of the NBA and you haven't seen this block, I've been working in the NBA for more than 20 years. I've never seen a block shot like this. It is stunning how high off the ground Ja Morant can get. Here's what it sounded like when Michael and I called it.
One sec. Hang on. Yeah, I saw it too. I've never seen anything like it. Talk about a guy with hops. How tall is he?
6'3".
He is up there, man. He is absolutely flying.
So what made it different is that he didn't just block it. He grabbed it with both hands, and you know there's that white square above the rim. He was at the top of the square. I mean, not at the rim, top square. And later in the game, Mace, when he dunked an alley-oop, he got so high up that when he came down, he had to duck his head under the rim to keep from hitting it.
Amazing.
So I know we're all in different places today. So Laura, here's what it sounded like. And Michael and I didn't know how to describe it. Here's how we tried.
12-9 after the 3-point play by LeBron. LeBron's got 7 in the game, and the Grizzlies' lead is 3 with exactly 7 minutes remaining in the first quarter. Here is Ja Morant, stolen by Avery Bradley. Bradley on a breakaway gets to the rim. Ja Morant leaped to the top of the glass and took it away with 2 hands. I've never seen a block like that. Morant coming the other way, can't finish. Rebound loose, knocked out of bounds. They're going to give it to Memphis. Michael, timeout on the floor. How would you describe that block by Morant?
Unhuman.
I mean,
I've never seen that.
Above the square. Yeah, I bet you guys see this at home. Timeout.
Yeah, you'll see it on the highlights. And he sort of controlled it. He didn't like block it. He grabbed it like you go up for a rebound.
Like Bill Russell. Grizzlies 12, Lakers 9.
Block of the year.
6:42 remaining in the first half. This crowd still buzzing over that Ja Morant block on the ESPN LA Lakers.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, it is. If you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor and go find it. It was Lakers, by the way, almost came back. They were down 29 in the fourth quarter, and they cut it to 9, but they ran out of time. So their four-game winning streak got snapped.
One last thing to throw in. I got some clarification. If the Bucks, Rams, and 49ers win, the Rams play at Tampa Bay. If the Eagles upset Tampa, Rams win, and 49ers beat Dallas, the Rams will host the 49ers again.
Wow.
In the divisional round.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the 49ers are going to win, don't you?
Yeah, it's hard to believe the Eagles would beat Tampa, but who knows? It's the playoffs. Yeah. It's one and done. Who knows?
That's your boy, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, go Jalen. All right, coming up next for you is Sedano and Cap. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.